These are the recollections of Turner Ashby. Memories of the years when the oceans rose and the several states were separated asunder. Chapter 8. I can't take this anymore, Turner. I'm going to follow those tracks back to wherever they come from. I don't care, Lee said. I grabbed my ditty bag and a rifle. I got your back, I said. You sound like a worthless detective show. As long as I get to be James Bond, I said, and I loaded up my tunes that weren't uploaded already. More like somebody asked Scooby-Doo, Lee said. We had had a visitor the day before outside our snow-encrusted cabin on the mountain, or at least the snow-bound footprints of one. We had not slept that night, peering out through our reflections in the windows. We had not eaten. We were giddy. Who's watching us? Who would want to watch us? Lays paced and turned and paced and turned some more. We knew we were being watched. We had to find out who. We followed the boot tracks, which were beginning to be run over by our own boot tracks. We had run back and forth on them so many times. We followed the tracks to the edge of the rocks, an outcropping that faced northeast. If you could peer and squint 70, 75 miles almost directly in the eastward direction, you would have seen old Washington, D.C., which had been purposely abandoned under federal shrinkage and states' rights deconsolidation act 2 years earlier. But one could not see that far, never could. We stood on that outcropping. I'd always loved that place throughout my life. I cherished the view and the gnarled trees and the wind. It was like a painting of the way I thought the world should be, always should be. But on that particular day, the view appeared somehow sinister. Pricking up my ears real close, I thought I could hear thunder. The sky was clear. Should we go over that edge? That was a question. There were no tracks to be followed by that time, just exposed rock, easy enough to jump back and forth on. Until the edge dropped off the edge. Then I noticed a blaze, a white swatch on a tree and another on a rock. These were not of the Appalachian Trail. They were not trail blazes whatsoever, not in my mind. The trail, which I had wandered a number of miles on and would continue to hike throughout my life, was up on the ridge. This path was something different, something I'd never seen before. It was fresh and marked, and clearly marked. But where did it lead? They could be waiting for us, Lady said. They could be down amongst the mountain lore somewhere. And then we saw them. We saw the cameras. One was hung in a dry, dead, gray branch of an ash. Second camera tucked between rock and another rock. Hell's bells, I remember saying. We backed up, almost tripped over our own heels backing up so fast. We'd been monitored, surely recorded, and time-stamped. Give me some gum, ladies told me. I gave her what I had. I hadn't much. I'd been trying to stretch my chewing stash to at least last until March. Only chewing on Wednesday and often to Thursday. What you gonna do with gum? I asked. Chew it. And Lace chewed. She gnawed on a piece for a while, I believe it was wintergreen. Then she spit the piece of gum out in her hand. She tore the wad in two pieces. She handed me half. You get that one, she pointed to the camera between the rocks. I stuck my half of the wad on the lens. She boosted herself up a tree, did the same to the other camera. We ran like hell to get out of there. We came back that same day under cover of dusk with our own camera. The cabin didn't have much technology, but there was no place on God's green earth back then. Didn't have a surveillance camera, two or three. They were everywhere in those times. Some worked, some didn't have the right cables. Some were operated remotely. They just stared at you all day. Six cameras at the cabin, we disabled and put in a drawer. Back at the edge of pieces of chewing gum that Lays had chewed, was still stuck on the strangers' cameras and mucking up their works, I hope, imagine. But it was obvious that nobody, if there was anybody, had come up to fix them. I was thinking the whole thing was a dream, except for the footprints. We pointed our camera at a wide enough angle to catch the focal point of the cameras on the tree and the camera between the rocks, the whole thing. We had a classic 21st century standoff. One piece of technology staring at another. Now what, I asked. We go back home, back to cabin. Lays said, Lays looked away. Lays had almost said home. I found a little kick in my step. Maybe I was part of home. Do we need a cable or something? How are we going to monitor these things? I asked Lays. I can see them in my mind, Turner. I got a chip in my head, don't you remember? And it's enhanced. She winked and smiled a shy smile. I love when she smiled. She could make me do about anything when she smiled. All she had to do was say. But I also knew there was something Lays was not telling me. This was so. Something about the Suckerhauser chip in her head. The one she'd gotten down in North Carolina. The chip was most likely an intelligent one. The high-end ones were. In other words, one could learn, it could enhance, focus. One that would search and pry and use outsourced technology and alternate and parallel conduits. A chip that would make a smart girl smarter. Oh, I'm so stupid. Lady sat up in bed that night. I remember that. I was taking my turn at watching through the window, listening, peering, getting scared by owls. I'd taken a longer turn. I'd allowed Lays to keep sleeping because she was not sleeping at all well those days. Not for days. She was tossing and talking. Stop pushing me, she would say. I didn't know who was pushing her. There was no one there. She mentioned Doug, her dumbass first boyfriend. That was no good for anybody. Sometimes she sat up and pressed her on her eyes like the light that was not there, was too bright. We could be looking back through their cameras, she said. We don't need our camera. We just need to turn the cameras right around and see what they see. All I need is a couple of serial numbers, a routing number. I'd love to have a routing number. I don't need it. I can't believe I didn't think of that. Turner, why didn't you tell me I didn't think of that? She hopped out of bed. Let's get going. Now? I asked. No, next week, for God's sake, Turner. Act like a Virginian. Ah, states' rights. I guess right now is about as good a time as any to discuss the pride of boundaries and borders. The awareness of 250 or more than 400 years, if you recall your history of the Virginia Commonwealth. Years and years of surveyed and settled lines that most often follow the simple faults of geography. In the east, the lines followed rivers and creeks, followed a dip in a ridge. Out west, the lines, of course, straightened out and pursued the curvature of the earth itself. From up above, of course, you can't see those lines. They are man-made, man-imposed. And that's my point. You may not be able to see zoning variances in the lines between the states from outer space. But of course you think you do. You know you do, because they are there. Those boundaries between the states were real and as real as a cut. Because being a citizen of the United States, it proved nothing. What state were you from? That was a question. That was what was important. It was not family, it was not tribe. It was not even the notion of those old divisive war horses of race and creed. That was the measure of one's true allegiances. There had to be something to it, although I truly have no idea how we got there. Now, I have my theories, of course, of why the pendulum swings of the history of mankind, at least in North America. The plural state, capital S, rose above and superseded the nation. My theory is that the nation had gotten too big for the imagination, bloated and careening and leaderless without a face. People need a face. People took to looking for a familiar face, and the state stepped in. Now, I know this is a simplistic explanation, but But humans are very simplistic beings. Very, very simple. They want simple answers. Yes or no. Are you with my state or against me? They like knowing which side they are on. Of course I'm a Virginian, I said to Lays. Well, sometimes you act like you're from Maryland, I swear, Turner. Well, that stung. Oh, stung like a bald-faced hornet. Nobody wants to be accused of being from north of the border, and I never did. We arrived back on the back edge of the cliff, arguing. Not paying much attention. We've been arguing all the time. There was thunder in the air. A crystal blue sky and thunder. Is that thunder or the war? Lady said. She wanted to sound tragic and mournful, her hair blowing in the wind. We got to get down off this mountain and see, Turner. Sam told us to stay, I said. Do you do everything you're told? Depends on who's talking, I said. I'm talking. Well, I wasn't going to touch that one with 10-foot pole. What's wrong with you, Turner? You stopped doing anything. You stopped thinking. You just stopped. What are you scared of? You act like an old dog just following me around. I got to protect you, I said. I don't want protection. I don't need it. Besides, I'm the one looking after you. If it wasn't for me, you'd fallen off this mountain a long time ago. If it wasn't for me, I said, you'd starved to death long ago, curled up and died. Oh, don't flatter yourself. I'm just doing what needs to be done. Don't strain yourself. I love you, I said. Nobody asked you to do that either. Lays turned away. Flashlights shuddered from the east, changed the sky, changed the clouds. The horizon paled. The air murmured and then rode up like it was on the front end of a wave. Static and dust swirled. Lays held her head. I remember that. She Lays held her head and drew a dab of blood from her ear. She collapsed to her knees. I went down with her. Why does it have to be so many colors? Why does it have to be so loud? She said, and I knew the chip. The chip in her head wasn't right. A metal door creaked open between the rocks. I didn't expect that. It was camouflaged expertly, expensively. It was an old U.S. issue. Get in here. Get in here. Now, quick. The man waved him. He teetered. He appeared drunk. I believe he was drunk. I could have used a drink myself. It's North Carolina. They bombed Richmond, he said. Lays and I stayed kneeling, teetered, wide-eyed. Lays grabbed my hand. But it's okay. They missed. Would they hit? We asked. Baltimore. We crawled for that black scar on the rocks. And the door shut loudly behind us. That's all for now. I'll tell you more later. Turner Ashby.